Okay, my name is Tracy Edmonds. I'm what people refer to as a cradle Catholic. That means that I was born into the faith. I'm married to a cradle Catholic, have two Catholic daughters, and one non-Catholic Christian son-in-law. While we have always had the gift of faith, just over 20 years ago, our practice of the faith had become so sporadic that at one point it was really only one or two people in our extended family who attended Mass on a somewhat regular basis. My husband Michael was one of them. Fortunately, God works some miracles in our lives. That number has now grown to 12 of us that attend Mass here on a regular basis. We still... We still often say to each other how lucky we are, how fortunate we are. Blessed are we that God came along and found us. We have all of the crazy issues that every other family has, but we all know that the most important thing in our lives is God's love for us and our love for Him. Some of you may have been born into the Catholic faith, into other faiths, or into no faith tradition at all. There really is very little difference between all of us, as the journey of faith is an amazing lifelong adventure toward union with the one true living God. Everyone goes through this journey. All people, whether in the Catholic Church or not, even the priests and the Pope are on a journey of faith. We are all seeking the truth, who is God, every day of our lives, even if we don't know it, or even if we reject God. We are all just at different points on our journey. This amazing journey does not always progress in a straight line. It has many twists and turns. It has points where we veer off on a side path, and then God has to gently, or sometimes not so gently, lead us back in the right direction. God looks for and speaks to each one of us. We, in turn, are really like a bunch of unruly little sheep that need to follow God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John in the New Testament records Jesus as saying, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And Darlene made this lovely little pointer. So when I'm talking about the Gospel of John, we're in the New Testament over here. So I'm just going to use that to point where we are in the Bible. Tonight we will be referring to a few things that I thought we should briefly define before we get going. And they will be explained in more detail later. The Bible, or Holy Scriptures, is God's revelation of Himself to mankind. It is composed of books written by the Holy Spirit through mankind. The Old Testament books revealed God, these are the Old Testament books, to the people of Israel and pointed the way to God's Son, Jesus. The New Testament books revealed God in Jesus Christ to the apostles, the followers of Jesus, and the Gentile or non-Jewish people. We will be using the New Standard Revised Version of the Holy Bible, and all of the quotes that we use this year will be from that translation. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is the complete teaching of the Church. Saints are holy people. They have journeyed toward God, and after death are united with Him in heaven. The first thing or person that we need to discuss is God. Who is God? God is a living God, and He is three persons in one God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is our Father who created heaven and earth. He created everything around us. He created us, both our body and our soul, and He sent His only Son to redeem us. He did this out of love for us, because God is love. The first letter of John in the New Testament of the Bible states, "God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them." God is the Son Jesus who redeemed us. It is our Lord Jesus who we rely on to help us to have a close relationship with God. He is the bridge from us to God the Father. When man turned away from God and we closed ourselves off from him, he, in his loving kindness, sent his son Jesus to find us and save us. God told St. Catherine of Siena that the bridge of Jesus Christ reaches from heaven to earth and constitutes the union I have made with man. God is also the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us and guides us and helps us to become holy. In fact, the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that knowledge of faith is possible only in the Holy Spirit. To be in touch with Christ, we must first have been touched by the Holy Spirit. Whenever you see the letter CCC, we are referring to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and you will each be given a catechism of your own. No, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are not separate gods. They are all one God in three persons. They are all one essence. This awesome Trinitarian God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, loves us. He knows us, our body and our soul, intimately. After all, he created our body and our soul, and he wants us to know him and to love him intimately. This slide shows some of the symbols that are used to represent God in his three persons. The Father is depicted by the creative hand. Jesus is depicted as the spotless lamb who was sacrificed for all. The Holy Spirit is depicted as the dove of peace, consolation, and help. There are many symbols used in the journey of faith in the Catholic Church, and you will encounter many different ones during the year. We will be delving into who God is and how we can best come to know him and accept the love that he is offering to us in great detail all year. Tonight we will just have a little overview about what faith in God is and what the Catholic Church professes as our faith. We refer to this profession of faith as the creed, what we believe in. It is very important to know that God is love. Everything that you will learn here this year is about love. God is love. He loves us, and he wants us to love him and other people. That is the journey of faith. The first letter of John in the New Testament, I'm not very good at my pointing here, so that's not the Gospel of John, it's the first letter of John there, makes this abundantly clear. It states, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." The first question that we are to consider tonight is, what is faith? There's a handout, Q1, in your binder that deals with this question, and our program will follow along and expand on these handouts over the next 9 months. And it would be a good idea to read them in advance if you have time, and there are some questions that you can do on them as well. And if not, read them after the sessions for sure. So, what is faith? The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that faith is a gift of God, a supernatural virtue infused by him. The New Testament book, Hebrews, states that faith is the assurance of things, that was in the New Testament over there, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Saint Augustine discussed faith as follows: "I began to consider the countless things I believed that I had not seen or that had happened with me not there. So many things in the history of nations, so many facts about places and cities that I had never seen, so many things told me by friends, by doctors, by this person, by that person, and unless we accepted these things, we could do nothing in this life. Most strongly of all, it struck me how firmly and unshakably I believed I was born of a particular mother and father, which I could not possibly know unless I believed it on the word of others." Faith is belief in something we cannot see directly. There are many examples of this in our day-to-day lives. For example, we have faith that when we turn on the car, put it into drive, and press on the gas, the car will move forward. We don't actually see the motor parts moving and connecting and firing up, but we have faith that the process is taking place and will have a result. We have the evidence of the reasoning and science that we learned in school. We have the evidence of our senses. We have the evidence of what we see happening with other vehicles on the road. We have the evidence of our ears when we hear something happening mysteriously under the hood. We have the evidence of our own past experience with starting cars. We also have the evidence of the car companies and government organizations that regulate the car industry. So, using reasoning, scientific evidence, our senses, past experience, and the experience of officials, we decide to trust and have faith that when we turn on the car, put it into drive, press on the gas, the car will move forward. Faith in God can be accepted and lived out in a similar way. It is a gift that is available to everyone on earth. We absolutely can have faith that when we talk or pray to God, He will hear us and respond to us and have a loving relationship with us. We may not actually see God, but we can have faith that He is there listening and responding to us. We have the evidence that God Himself has given to us in the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scripture, or Bible, is the written record of God's revelation of His love to us. We have the evidence of God's interactions with the apostles and the teachings of Jesus and what they learned from the Holy Spirit and handed on. This is referred to as sacred tradition. We have the teachings of the church that God Himself instituted here on earth with all of the helps that it provides. This is called the magisterium of the church. We have the evidence of God in the creation around us. We are able to perceive that with our senses. We know that God created everything around us and us. With this in mind, when we view creation, we can experience the grandeur and awesomeness of God. We also encounter God in the people around us. God is working in everyone's lives. If we are aware of that, we can see God in the other person. We are all interconnected through our creation in the image and likeness of God. When we have faith, we begin to see the other person as God might see them. Faith generates a sense of community among people. We also have the evidence of our own past interactions with God. Something in our soul tells us that sometimes we have experienced God. So using all of these things, we can decide to accept the gift of faith that God is offering and trust that when we pray or talk to God, He will hear us and respond to us and have a loving relationship with us. Faith is an act of the will. We make a decision to accept the gift of faith that God is offering. When we do make that decision, we begin to see God in creation and in the people around us. We begin to love the God who is love. True love or charity then begins as we realize that we must care for creation and for the other person as we would care for the God that we love. Before God spoke to mankind and gave us the wonderful helps that we have to get to know Him, He did make Himself present to mankind in the form of the natural law. This is written on each of our hearts and allowed early mankind and still allows us today to know the difference between right and wrong. It is God's voice to mankind. With the gift of life came the gift of faith. The natural law is an introduction to faith. The early peoples sensed God around them in nature and in events. They also had a strong sense of the afterlife that you can see in many primitive cults of the dead. Then God spoke to Abraham, the father of our faith, and began to reveal Himself further to the Israelites and then to all people through His son Jesus. God's encounter with Abraham is beautifully recorded in the first book of the Old Testament, Genesis. There. The reason that we are here and that we are investigating this amazing faith is that all human beings long for God, and God longs for us. We do long for God, even if we don't know it. We try to satisfy this longing by pursuing happiness in the things of this world. Unfortunately, once obtained, we realize that those things fall short of satisfying our deepest desires for a perfect love relationship. Man has always longed for God. We see this recorded in Psalm 63 of the Old Testament in the Bible. The first two stanzas of the Psalm 63 depict the longing of the human soul for God. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. We long for God, and we cannot be truly happy unless we are with God. Saint Augustine lived in the 4th century. He was a brilliant man and had lived a very full life, obtaining basically everything he wanted in terms of prestige, relationships, lots of them with women, accolades in his profession, but he still found himself in a state of wanting. He finally realized that what he had been searching for all along was God. He said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." The Bible speaks to us of God's longing for us. The book of Hosea in the Old Testament lovingly describes the courtship of God for the wayward people of Israel. "Therefore, I will now persuade her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. From there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she shall respond as in the days of her youth, as at a time when she came out of the land of Egypt." God speaks to us as though he is the bridegroom and we are the bride. This indicates that God has an intimate, personal love for us. As Kathy Gus, the catechist here, said in an earlier presentation, you may be responding to a whisper, an inspiration, a longing, or an event that brought you here. That would have been the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So yes, you have come here to find God. You have answered his call. You are here to investigate the gift of faith that he is offering to you. It is a free gift, and you are free to accept it or reject it. God will always respect your free will and will not force anything onto you. But you can be assured that God is longing for you to accept this beautiful gift of faith. This slide shows the famous painting by Caravaggio where Jesus calls Matthew. This was the event that brought Matthew to faith. Matthew appears shocked and seems to be saying, "Me? Are you kidding?" Matthew was a sinner, a tax collector, hated by his own Jewish people. But nevertheless, God called him and he answered immediately. He went on to become an apostle, one of the four evangelists. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew and eventually gave his life in martyrdom for the faith. We find this situation over and over again in the Old and New Testaments. It does not matter what situation a person finds themselves in. God calls all people and can work in any circumstances. This painting by Warner Salmon represents a poignant scene that was also described by St. Therese of Lisieux. It is our Lord standing at a door and knocking. The door signifies our soul. Only the side of the door that our Lord Jesus is standing on has no doorknob. Only we can open the door to our heart and our soul to let our Lord enter. God is always with us. It is we who often do not acknowledge him. The book of Revelation in the New Testament, right at the very end of the New Testament, tells us that Jesus is just waiting for the invitation to live with us. It says, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me." Just by coming here to find out about the Catholic faith and our Lord Jesus, you are opening the door for the Lord our God. How wonderful. God's love for us is not limited like our human love, wherein we can only love in a certain way and with a certain amount of love. We love our parents a certain amount. We love our children a certain amount. We love our spouses a certain amount. We love our friends a certain amount, and so on. We sometimes even know whom we love more, and we prioritize that love. God is not constrained in love the way we are. God loves each one of us 100%. At first, this sounds a little far-fetched, but upon praying and meditating about it, we realize that it is the truth. Our journey of faith is really one big love story between God and us. God is making himself known to us in every moment of our lives, in what he has revealed to us, in what he has created for us, in the people around us, and in the events that he either allows or arranges for our lives. God wants to be actively involved in our everyday life, and he wants to have an intimate relationship with our soul. The Catechism tells us that in sacred scripture, the term soul often refers to human life or the entire human person, but soul also refers to the innermost aspect of man. That which is of greatest value in him, that by which he is most especially in God's image. Soul signifies the spiritual principle in man. It also states, the human body shares in the dignity of the image of God. It is a human body precisely because it is animated by a spiritual soul, and it is the whole human person that is intended to become, in the body of Christ, a temple of the Spirit. Actually, no one here on earth can really know our soul the way God does. In the August 2015 issue of the Magnificat, a monthly publication that some of us get, a meditation by Egyptian monk and hermit Pseudo Macarius, who died in AD 390, caught my eye. It read like this. Like a bee that secretly fashions its combs in the hive, so also grace secretly forms in hearts its own love. It changes to sweetness what is bitter, what is rough into that which is smooth. It is similar to a silversmith or engraver working on a plate who partly covers up those various little animals that he is sculpturing. But when he has finished his work, then he holds it up, shining in the light. So the Lord, that true artisan, engraves our hearts and secretly renews them until they leave the body. Then the real beauty of the soul is manifested. This is part of the beautiful teaching of the Church. Isn't it wonderful to know that the soul and God's intimate relationship with it has been understood for thousands of years? It is the goal of our journey of faith to train the eyes of our soul and the other senses of our soul, our supernatural senses, so that we can have a close relationship with God, so that when he speaks to our soul, it will be ready and open to hear him. Then at the end of our lives, we will see the face of God and spend all of eternity in perfect happiness with him. When Catholics think of spending all of eternity with God, we think of the beatific vision, where we will see God face to face. The Catechism teaches that faith makes us taste in advance the light of the beatific vision, the goal of our journey here below. Then we shall see God face to face, as he is, quote. So faith is already the beginning of eternal life. When we contemplate the blessings of faith, even now, as if gazing at a reflection in the mirror, it is as if we already possessed the wonderful things which our faith assures us we shall one day enjoy. Sadly, sometimes people spend their entire lives ignoring or running from the God who is love and who loves us. We tend to keep our soul closed off, and then we aren't able to hear the inspirations that God provides. But the wonderful thing is that all of us here now, tonight, have set our feet on the journey of faith that will give us the opportunity to learn to love God, to be open to a relationship with Him through His only begotten Son, Jesus. I mentioned earlier three important tools that God has given us as helps on our journey of faith. They are sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium. God has given these to us to help us to hear Him, to know Him, and to love Him. The Church teaches that sacred scripture is the speech of God as it is put down in writing under the breath of the Holy Spirit. We refer to this as the Bible. And as I said earlier, God reveals Himself to the people of Israel in the books of the Old Testament, and then to the apostles and followers of Jesus in the books of the New Testament. And they're all laid out here. And these stands will be here each night for you to look at and refer to as we talk about the Bible. The Church teaches that Holy tradition transmits in its entirety the Word of God, which has been entrusted to the apostles by Christ the Lord and the Holy Spirit. It transmits to the successors of the apostles so that, enlightened by the Spirit of truth, they may faithfully preserve, expound, and spread it by their teaching. The magisterium is the teaching office of the Church. It is described by the Catechism as follows. The task of giving an authentic interpretation of the Word of God, whether in its written form or in the form of tradition, has been entrusted to the living teaching office of the Church alone. Its authority in this matter is exercised in the name of Jesus Christ. This means that the task of interpretation has been entrusted to the bishop in communion with the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome. The successor of Peter, the first pope, is our pope today, Pope Francis. He is the current pope in an unbroken line of popes that date from the time of Christ. These three tools are like the legs of a three-legged stool. All are needed for an authentic interpretation of the faith. If you take one leg away, the stool will tip over. This notion will be dealt with later in more detail, as it is a determining factor in why the Catholic Church is the only church that has the fullness of the faith. Along with the three helps that God provided to us, we have the Holy Sacraments, instituted by Jesus Christ our Lord, as it says in the Catechism. There are seven of them, and each will be explored in great detail as the year goes on. The Catechism teaches that the seven sacraments are the signs and instruments by which the Holy Spirit spreads the grace of Christ, the head, throughout the Church, which is His body. They include baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, anointing of the sick, reconciliation, marriage, and holy orders. These are special signs that God has given us to enlighten us, to nourish us, and to keep us strong as we progress toward Him on our journey of faith. During our journey of faith, we attend the Holy Mass. The Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of our Lord, is offered to God the Father. The Catechism teaches that it is the source and summit of the Christian life. Tom and Kathy will teach all about the Mass next week. Prayer is very important on the journey of faith. Faith is a free gift, but it must be prayed for, and once received, prayer must continue to maintain it. This is such an important but difficult point. Every effort must be made to pray or talk to God every single day, all day if possible. There can never be too much praying. We will teach you how to pray starting tonight. Spiritual reading is also important on the journey of faith. You will never be in need of a good book again. We have the Holy Scriptures, the Early Church Fathers, the Lives of the Saints, the Vatican documents, and 2,000 years of spiritual writings for you to peruse. Another beautiful resource that we have been given by God is the holy people who have gone before us. People who have passed from this world and been united with God. They now reside with Him in heaven. Remember, they are not dead. They have eternal life. They are the communion of saints. The saints in heaven are available for us to talk to pray to. They will hear our prayers and pray to God for us. Many of these saints have been made official by the church, while many saints remain unofficial. Nevertheless, they are saints in heaven with God. We are all called to be saints, and that is our goal. Mary is the mother of God's Son, Jesus. She is the greatest of all the saints. God chose her and gave her a singular grace to be free of all sin. This left her soul completely open to the grace of God. Even though she had her own free will, just like us, she always heard God and did His will. It was her fiat, or yes to God, that allowed our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, to come into the world to save us. Jesus gave her to us as He was dying on the cross. She is our special mother who we can pray to for help in all situations. She then prays to God for us. Because she was so united here with God on earth, she has a special place in heaven. God listens closely to the prayers that she prays to Him on behalf of us, her beloved children. As we decide to accept the free gift of faith that God is offering to us, we learn that we can trust God. St. Paul said in his New Testament letter to the Philippians, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." On our journey, we are able to partake of all the help that God has given to us through His Holy Church. When we do this and open our hearts to God, we begin to notice that He has a plan for each one of us. This is God's will for us. As we come to know God and to love God more and more, we find ourselves wanting to figure out what God's will is for us. This plan may, in fact, be very different from what we had planned for ourselves. We may have lived our whole life without ever giving a thought to what God had wanted for us. This is okay. God in His goodness can work with us wherever we are. God loves us no matter what we have done and how far we have strayed from His plan. If we humble ourselves and open our hearts to discovering what God's will is for us, He will enter our lives and the exciting journey will begin. Each time we step out in faith and trust God's will for us, we are strengthened for our journey. The next step on our journey seems more sure and is marked by a sense of peace which comes from God. As we train the senses of our soul to be more perceptive to the inspirations of God, we will notice that God's will has become our will, and our earthly journey will become a beautiful dance with God. After our journey of faith is over, we will meet God face to face in heaven and live with Him in perfect peace and happiness for all of eternity. And we're going to look at the creeds right now. The word creed comes from the Latin credo, which means I believe. We have a number of creeds which define what the Catholic Church professes. Tonight we will review the Apostles' Creed, as it's relatively short. At Sunday Mass, we profess the longer Nicene Creed, so you will hear and say that one the most, but we will have a whole class on the Nicene Creed later in the year. The Apostles' Creed that we are looking at tonight is what people use as part of their private prayers while they say the Rosary, etc. We don't know if the Apostles actually wrote the Apostles' Creed, but we do know that it dates from the 1st century A.D., so we'll begin. You have a handout at your table and you can follow along. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God's Father. And then he is come to judge the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. That sounds good. Okay, so I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. God is our Father who created all of us and everything around us from nothing. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Jesus is the divine Son of God. He is fully human and fully divine. Jesus means God saves. Christ means Messiah, or the Anointed One, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Mary said her fiat, or yes, to God. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was conceived. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Jesus was condemned to death by Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. This is referred to as the Passion of the Lord. Hell is the place of the dead. Until Jesus rose from the dead, the gates of heaven were closed. During the time he was dead, he went to those who had died before and offered them the opportunity to go to heaven, where many or all of them are now. Except for the official saints, we do not know who is in heaven. No one, not even the Pope, is able to judge anyone else's salvation. The people themselves say yes or no to God, and only God will know who is saved until we ourselves go to heaven and see who is there. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Our Lord defeated sin and death when he rose again on the third day. He resurrected from the dead and is now in heaven with his Father. He is also with us now in the Holy Eucharist. He is with us in the other sacraments, which are signs of his presence here on earth. And he is with us in our hearts and our souls. He will come again at a time which only God knows. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We profess our belief in the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We profess our belief in the Church that Jesus Christ instituted here on earth. We believe in the saints. We believe that our own bodies will be resurrected at the end of time. And we believe that life is eternal if we want it to be. When we say Amen, we are saying, I believe. We will be praying for you all this year. We will pray that you receive the peace and joy that only our Lord Jesus Christ offers. We will pray that you come to know in your heart and your soul that you are a beloved child of the God Most High. We will pray that your will and God's will may become united, and at the end of your earthly life, you will see God face to face and live in love with him for all of eternity. And I have a little prayer homework for you right now. So if you could follow along, what I would like you to do is every day, just recollect yourself for a few minutes and pray the following to the God who is love. So if you want to make the sign of the cross with me, and it's on the other side of your Apostles' Creed. Okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear God, who knows me and loves me, please help me know you and love you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And then after the coffee, we are going to have a little bit of discussion. And the questions that we are going to discuss are, what event or inspiration has led you to investigate the Catholic Church? Number two, have you noticed the presence of God in your life? And number three, if you were to draw a graph of your faith journey, what would it look like? And share with the group if you are comfortable doing so. You don't have to if you don't feel comfortable. So I think that is about all for today.